Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how we can recognise the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognise the spirit of truth and the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Today we're talking about discernment, not the specific gift, but discernment is an essential tool and measure of Christian maturity. To me, a Christian without discernment is kind of like a soldier surrounded by enemies and not being able to see a way out. So the soldier swings his sword wildly, hoping to strike a blow, but is unable to see a way through. Discernment equips us to see God's kingdom come, to see his way forward, his way through. And it's such an excitement for us to grow in this because it's primarily about us being led to the good God has planned for us and seeing the reality of God's goodness, being led through the valley of the shadow of death to the land of his goodness. It's not an obsession with evil discernment, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in this world. But it's about God making a path for us through evil that we may enter into the territory of his goodness. And so let's pray to him as we look at this. Dear Father, we want to see your goodness in the land of the living. Please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better. And in knowing you, know your will for us. Open the eyes of our hearts to see the unseen. Unlock our minds to discern the unseen. Release in us gifts to be aware of the unseen and open our ears to hear you. Open our spirits to live in your incomparably great power that is in us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we think about discernment, how often do we let our physical realities and what we think determine how much is it based on what we have seen with our eyes and how much do we say that that is the truth? How often do we use what we see and what we hear to assess whether something is good or evil? How often do we use our natural senses to tell us the truth about situations, the truth that is not visible? My kids, they look at food, and if last time it was too hot, they look at the food and they go, too hot. They don't even touch it. They don't even taste it because they had that experience last time. They look at something they haven't done before and they go, too hard, too scary. We see someone different or something different, and we make initial judgments based on what we see. People talk to us differently and we make judgments. People look different and we make judgments. The cleaner was complaining about when he used to live in Dandenong, people would look at him and make judgments about him because of the way that he looked. I think what we allow, what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears to determine whether what is in front of us is good or evil. And that's not a biblical model, because as Christians, we're engaged with an unseen world. I think we allow our experiences in the physical to govern our expectations of how God can work in the future. And that also isn't biblical. You see, we have a faith in one in whom we do not see, and we pray that what we do not see, his unseen kingdom, will be made visible. Ephesians 6 says, our war is not against flesh and blood, but with the rulers of the unseen, against the authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the unseen heavenly places. We, as Christians, we are what is visible, and through us, what is invisible is made visible. That's the power of God, and that is our privilege as Christians. Jesus' kingdom comes through us. The invisible is made visible through us. As we pray to the one who we do not see, he answers our prayers in the natural world. In this passage today, we've been encouraged to recognize truth from error, a true prophet from a false prophet, a non-Christian from a Christian. The people John writes to, they're so hungry for more of God. They're so hungry and eager to hear from God that they're unwisely open to false prophets because their hunger is greater than their discernment. So they're going after anything that they really see and hear. Now, John isn't saying slow down, stop being hungry as a people. He's saying build the muscle of discernment, that as we mature, we will be strong in discernment and that our discernment will match our hunger. You see, Jesus has said in Matthew 7:15 to 27, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus is saying on the outside, they may look like prophets, but inside they belong to the evil one. Not that they intentionally have an agenda of evil. They will think that they're doing good, but the evil one who they belong to has an agenda of evil through them. These false prophets will be fully convinced they're doing good, not discerning the source of who they are following and therefore who they belong to. Jesus goes on to say in this passage from Matthew 7, they will say, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles in your name? And Jesus' reply will be, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So the aim of discernment is not just for us to discern what is out there, but it's also for us to discern the unseen at work in ourselves, that we will discern where we are, who we are following, what we are taking on board, who do we listen to, lest we be led astray by the evil one. Now, as we approach this topic, there's going to be a few places that we come from, and I want us to be able to visualize this. So on the horizontal, what we've got is someone that will not seek the unseen through to someone that is open and seeking the unseen. If we're seeking the unseen, it's about us seeking spiritual empowerment, growing in the spiritual gifts. It's about us seeking to hear the Lord, to walk with the Lord, going deeper in a two-way relationship with God. On the vertical, we move as Christians from a place of having no discernment to a place of being mature in discernment. And as a footnote for those people that will be listening later on online, if you don't turn up for a church sermon, you miss out when you're not here. And this is not just about what you don't see in the physical. It's about what you don't participate in the spiritual. So let me describe the different boxes that we might fit into, starting with the first one, someone that is closed and fearful, not seeking the unseen and not having much discernment. This person's not going to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit, won't really embrace prayer from others, let alone pray for others. They're not exercising their spiritual gifts, not thinking about whether things are good or evil, closed to most things out of fear and uncertainty. The second group of second person, as I'm talking through this, you might recognize where you might lean towards, has a word focus or a judgment focus, is not seeking the unseen but thinks that they're quite mature in discernment. Because there's no focus on the unseen, the person will be concerned with the physical, the concrete, truth, knowledge, what is tangible. And so they'll judge people from a distance that embrace the unseen. They'll be closed to the work of the Spirit. Knowledge is what is most important. And so their discernment will be based on what they know. They may pray for other people, but they'll struggle to receive prayer from others. And they'll struggle to actually let people into the inside of what is actually going on in them. There may be discernment, but the kind of discernment that it will be largely based on what they physically see and hear and read. This person up here in this corner may struggle with a religious spirit or religiosity, following rules. The third person has a spirit focus, and I've called that person unsteady or unstable. So like Ephesians talks about there, they can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Very open to spiritual things, but experiences are a priority and can be a driver of emotional and physical things. They're likely to be led astray by unbiblical teaching and shaken easily by spiritual things, not always discerning what spirit might be learning, leading in any one situation. All three of these people are going to struggle to receive teaching that is contrary to the position that they major in. And that's true for all of us. We'll overly be driven by thoughts, emotions, and physical realities rather than the Holy Spirit. We'll read the Bible through a lens that describes their position, and it's really easy to ignore. There's someone I know that's preached through the whole Gospel of Luke and doesn't really recognize the Holy Spirit, over 100 sermons. If you have a focus on what is seen and not the unseen, it will bias the way that you read the Bible, and you'll likely judge someone, everyone does it, in a position that's different to your own. So where does Jesus call us to be? He calls us to be in this position of being a disciple of the kingdom, those that hold together word and spirit, those who have grown to discern good and evil through practice, those who can discern where God is at work and where the evil one is at work, someone who embraces the spiritual gifts, someone that embraces the unseen world and yet has grown to be mature in discernment of both what they see and what they don't see, someone that's closely connected in relationship with God and feeds regularly on God's word. So how do we move from wherever we're at? And let me encourage you, as you're looking at this, take stock of where you are. There's no judgment for where you are, but we know where Jesus is calling us to be. How do we take this? Well, we take a step, just one step at a time, towards where we need to grow. If you're not seeking the unseen, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. What are the gifts that you've given me? How are you at work that I don't see? If you're not discerning well, but you're hungry, I'm going to give you some teaching on that in a second. But for all of us, we need to be teachable by those that God has given to us as teachers. People elevated to a position of trust in community, not just anyone. Teachers outside of the community can be dangerous. In this internet world where everyone is given a platform, someone can be given a platform on a blog that is not appropriate based on their life. And so we need to trust that those that God has given us in community to discern and teach, and we come under God's word together. We need to practice discernment with those who are more mature, a step along in the line. We need to know the Bible so that that can be the filter through which we see as Christians. And we need to have a close relationship with God. So how do we grow in discernment? Discernment is about true government of the will. Instead of being a self-governing person, we move to in relationship with God to be a Holy Spirit-governed person. We can't take ourselves out of the world, and so in the world that we're in, we need to learn how to walk in step with the Spirit. Instead of saying, I will do this, bless that, Or instead of saying, if it's your will today, I will do this, or if it's your will today, I will do that, we say, Lord, what is your will? I'll do that. And in so learning to look to the Holy Spirit for the Father's will for us, we learn to discern our steps and walk in step with the Spirit. When we learn to discern whether our life is in line with his will or not, and when our life is out of line with his will, we grow in discernment. As we discern our own steps, we grow in discernment. If we haven't moved from a place of being a self-governing person to a Holy Spirit-governed person, we cannot expect to be able to discern outside of ourselves. If we haven't moved to a place where we are confidently discerning ourselves, whether we're walking in the will of God or whether we're not walking in the will of God, we're going to struggle to discern for others, and we're going to struggle to discern outside of ourselves. But for those of us that do walk with God, Jesus says to us in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And so as our friendship with God increases, so our discernment increases in alignment with that. See, we no longer walk blind because we have a relationship with the Father, and it's his desire, like Jesus, for us to know his business so we can walk in the Father's business. See, some people will tell you that testing of the spirits in 1 John 4 is about testing what is said and what is heard. So your job is to grow in discernment, and in order to grow in discernment, you have to grow in knowledge. They're partly right. To grow in discernment, you do need to grow in knowledge. But the kind of knowledge we need is the growth in knowledge from the Bible that fuels our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that we know the Father's heart better, that we know the work of our Savior deeply in our souls, and that we are led by the Spirit day by day. Once you're in a place of confidence in your relationship with God, then you're in a place where you can begin to walk in step with him in discerning outside of yourself. So here's a few tips from the passage as far as us testing and discerning. From verse 2 in chapter 4, if they give a true confession that Jesus came in the flesh and is from God, then they are true. But you need more than that as a test, as you find out a little bit later in the sermon. Verse 5, if they're true, they speak from heaven's viewpoint, God's viewpoint, and their audience is not the world. If they speak falsely, their audience is the world, and they speak from the world's viewpoint because they're trying to gather a crowd in the world, and so often seeking fame and to be liked among people. Verse 6 encourages us to see those people as teachable. You see, if people don't listen to others, if they don't listen to people in community that have a recognized place of authority, not necessarily that they don't listen to us, but if they don't listen to those who are elected by God in community to have authority and to teach, then they're not teachable. And if they're not teachable, then they have a spirit of falsehood. They won't learn. And so we need to look out for people that won't learn. And we need to look out for that inside of ourselves. If we won't learn and are not teachable, then that's a problem. But not only listen and change our understanding, but what we understand affects the way that we live. No disconnection between hearing and doing. That applies the same for us. So there's fruit in listening to God's word amongst God's people that is reflected in their life and are seeking after God's purposes and not their individual gain. Couldn't leave off Matthew 7:20, where it says, by their fruit they will be known. So we look at people's lives and we look at our lives and we see, what is the fruit of what we believe? What's the fruit for the kingdom? What's the fruit in their family? What's the fruit in their life? Do they not only speak what is true, but are their actions reflecting what is true? And so we pray for discernment with great confidence, because as it says in 1 John 4, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in this world. We pray with confidence because we know he wants to work through us. A number of years back, I was at a church. I was leading the worship service, and we're in a time of worship, and I heard in my mind, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's not something I usually think. And so I started praying about it. And after the service, I went and talked with the senior minister and said, look, as we're worshiping, this is what I heard. And as I looked around, I recognized that someone who'd raised alarm bells when I'd had a conversation with them was a part of the congregation that day. And they had off and on been a part of that congregation. And so we prayed and we said, if this person is being used by the evil one to do his work, in the name of Jesus, you are not welcome and you must go. They never came back. The guy fitted into this category of what we would call someone being unstable, someone going after everything in the spirit but without discernment. But we weren't great at discernment at this time because there was another guy leading worship, and it turns out his confession of faith wasn't a true confession about who Jesus was. And the way we found out that was because as he stepped up to lead worship, he was convicted that he shouldn't be in that place because he didn't align, which at one level was encouraging, but at another level was not, because our discernment wasn't strong enough, and he eventually ended up running off with another guy's wife. Discernment is important for God's community. But discernment's a day-to-day thing. It's not just something for big events and worship services. It's for all of us to discern in ourselves and to discern in the lives of others, to pay attention to the unseen world. As I was writing this sermon, the cleaner was coming through the office, and as he came past, the Lord said to me in my spirit, he's weary. I looked, and what I saw was he was full of energy. He was bouncing around. He had a smile to his face. He had a glow on his face. He didn't look weary, but I trusted God on what he said and said, oh, how are you doing today? How are you going? He said, oh, I'm really tired. And the tiredness he was expressing was not a physical tiredness. It was a spiritual, emotional tiredness because of the things that were going on in his life. It led to really great conversation where I got to actually encourage him. I shared this story from yesterday because I want to encourage you that day to day you'll have these opportunities to discern the unseen. And as we practice, we get better. So what will get in the way of discernment? Anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God. Sin in our life gets in the way, unforgiveness, mess. It acts like dirt on our spiritual lens, such that if you've got sin, unforgiveness, mess in your life, you're going to be unable to discern with clarity. If you know there's junk in your life and you haven't received the prayer or the prayer ministry, if you haven't repented, if you haven't sorted it out before the Lord, get it sorted out this week, because it is clouding your ability to see the goodness that God has prepared for you, the unseen being made seen in your world, because you're missing all that God has before you because of the cloudiness in the way that it hinders your vision. Now, there's another place we can come from, and it's a place of insecurity in our identity as a Christian. If we're insecure, we're not going to be confident that God actually thinks that we're worthy of anything good. We're not going to think that we're worthy of insight, of being called friends of the living God. And if you struggle with this, if you struggle with insecurity, if you're not sure in your salvation, come and talk to Rod, come and talk to myself, talk to your leaders, because you need to come to a place of security in your salvation before you're ready to move on in discernment. Emotions are a big barrier to discernment. You see, when our emotions are strongly driven by the flesh and this world, when we're fearful, it acts as a barrier because what we are looking at is not looking at God. When we're full of love and a passion for a person or a thing, it acts as a barrier. The couple that aren't married that are discerning whether God wants them to sleep together are going to be overcome by passion and not discern with clarity. Feelings don't always tell us the truth. When we're angry, we're going to struggle to discern. If we have a vested income in the outcome, one way or another, we're going to struggle to discern. If we go into discerning and go, I think the outcome's this, we're going to struggle to discern. If we come in with a desire for our will to be done, we're going to be struggling to hear what God's will is. So what can we do in order to prepare for discernment? We can stand in the authority of Jesus that he's given us, silence the voice of the flesh, the world, and the evil one. We can pray until we've confessed everything that the Holy Spirit lays on our hearts, and we've come to a place of stillness and peace before God. The kind of, as we heard about last week from 1 John 3:19, place of rest where our hearts are at rest in his presence. Not an emptying of the mind, but a coming to a gentle place of trust and peace in who God is, trusting his character and his wisdom, and where we can say, along with Jesus, not my will be done, but Father, your will be done. I want to give us an opportunity to discern right now, because practice is what makes perfect. And as a footnote for the online people, this part won't be on the web, because I promised that the people that did this Vox Pop, that they wouldn't be in that space. What I asked people to do randomly in a shopping centre was say a bunch of words and then at the end tell us whether that confession was true or false. They're giving a Christian confession. All of them are reading that confession. And what we're going to do is learn to trust our spiritual senses. So what I want you to do is trust, firstly, your spiritual senses and not what you're seeing physically. Our temptation is always to go with what is physical. We need to tune in to what we do not see. And so let me pray for us, and let me invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Lord, thanks that you desire for us to hear from you, that you desire for us to be a people eager to see the unseen made visible, to be in tune with what you're doing and what you're saying. Please help us. We confess any unbelief. Help us to have belief and work in us as we practice now that we may grow in maturity as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me say again, they're all reading. Don't use that as your discernment question. And so have a look. Are they Christian? To grow in discernment, we need to practice, 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 because what we see is not necessarily what is true. I don't want you to miss out on seeing a way through what surrounds you to God's goodness and seeing the invisible made visible in your life. Jesus is calling us as a church to walk in step with the Spirit. He's calling us to embrace the unseen world so we may not be rendered ineffective in our spiritual walk. He's calling us to grow in discernment. In love, he's calling us to be disciples. In love, he's calling us deeper in relationship with him so that through us he may make his invisible kingdom visible in this world. As a people, we're going to be tempted to let what is physical influence our prayers, our expectations. But imagine if we were a people wholeheartedly committed to seeing God's kingdom visible in this world. We would see so much more of his reality in our reality. If we just let our hearts be captured by his will, his plan, his heart. The Father's calling us to openness with discernment, a hunger for the seen with maturity in discernment, and a hunger for the unseen and a confidence that God can, in faith, make the unseen visible through us. My prayer is that as we've gone through this passage and I've spoken this morning, that he's going to sow into your hearts a desire for this deeply in your heart, such that what you'll be able to see as you look back as a pendulum swing in grace, as you more fully embrace who you are called to be as a disciple of Christ, that he'll shift you from where you are now to where you need to be as you partner with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be tempted to let our experience influence our prayers and our expectations of how God will work this out in the future. But let us be known as a people that stand on God's word, not from our bias, but as it is interpreted in the power of the Spirit, so that our lives will reflect Jesus' prayer, "Your kingdom come, Father. Your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.